Denmark says move over Sweden as government lifts all restrictions for COVID. What is a digital driver's license and how might you use it? A list of all the songs government didn't want you to hear right after 9/11. A local radio show announces they're only going to play music by vaccinated artists. A stand-up comic is canceling shows at venues that require vaccines. And France has recalled its U.S. and Australian ambassadors back to France over a submarine deal. That's not all. Something about decriminalization of psychedelics in Michigan. And also, is Dr. Fauci the sexiest man alive? All coming up here on Free Talk Live.
Is he, Chris?
No.
Give me a look.
Yeah, the disgust on my face right now. I know people, most of you guys can't see it, but it's pretty extreme.
I don't swing that way, but I mean, he kind of, like, if I'm going to say he looks like a thing, he looks like a mouse in
my estimation.
He has the features of a mouse.
I always think that.
I mean, I have to imagine that was a joke because he is not at all sexy.
I don't know where it comes from, but I mean, we'll get to that.
The Guardian.
It is the telephone number here is 603-283-6160. The phones are open. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. You could talk about anything that's on your mind. You could talk about any of the stuff that we want to talk about tonight. We might not get to all that stuff, but those are just sort of the top things that we've compiled for this show, this Friday night edition of Free Talk Live. Before I even start talking about any of that stuff, I just want to take a minute to say that at times there are people that come into your life that you admire. And for different reasons. Normally for me, it's because they're smarter than me or, you know, they're more talented than me, something along those lines. I personally have lost a very good friend of mine. His name was Dan Kirk on Tuesday night of this week. I only found out Wednesday. He was one of these people that you meet in this world that does good all of the time. He is famous for finding people's wallets with cash in them and returning them. He has more than two dozen of these throughout his life where he has found somebody's wallet in a parking lot or at a concert or on the side of the road or as he's walking dogs or things of that nature. The biggest one was, of course, a gentleman that had $1,800 in cash. It was going to be his moving money.
Wow.
He had, you know, sold some stuff and that kind of a thing, and it was going to be first, last, and deposit or that type of a thing for him so that he could move.
That's awesome.
Dan was able to use some internet sleuthing to locate this person. And Dan Kirk was the kind of man that never asked for anything in return. His charity work was his top calling. He worked a day job like everybody else, but he would do toy runs for things like the Children's Hospital, for other charities. He would get me involved with charities, got me to become a regular donator to a few charities, those types of things. There are people coming out of the woodwork now who never even met Dan that are like, oh my gosh, he's a legend. We've heard so much about this guy and all the good that he does. I don't think he has an enemy in the entire world. And so I'm very sorry that my friend Dan is no longer with us. I wish that there were more people like Dan Kirk on planet Earth. And the world is a much crappier place without you, brother. All right. So I think we should talk about France recalling its ambassadors because that seems like this just happened. I just pulled this up from NBC News moments ago. This was published less than an hour ago. France announced Friday it's recalling its ambassadors to the United States and Australia after it said its Indo-Pacific interests had been undermined by a new agreement made by the Biden administration on nuclear submarines.
So it's recalling its ambassadors that live in the United States
and Australia.
This is huge.
Wow.
I don't know. You know, this is the kind of thing that, like, you do, like, in, like, your the worst possible circumstances. I mean, this is like, I don't even know how to explain this. This is like pulling out of, you know, your ambassadors out of Afghanistan.
Right.
You know, when the Taliban took over. This is not something that you do.
Well, imagine if it were the opposite news. Imagine if the United States were recalling its ambassadors from some foreign country. Generally, the reason that I'm most familiar with for a country to do this is sort of a precursor
to war,
to some sort of combat, right? Yeah. The last time I remember this occurring in the news, it may have occurred since then and I just missed it, but was the Gulf War. Right before they started bombing Iraq and stuff like that, and Gulf One, that is. I remember, like, they issued a recall. They said, hey, if you're traveling, you know, come on back or you're on your own. And they pulled all the ambassadors back as well before they started actually dropping bombs. So it's interesting that France, of all places, this is a quote from the French foreign minister, Jean-Yves Le Drian, or Le Drian, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, says, at the request of the President of the Republic, I am recalling to Paris without delay our ambassadors to the United States and to Australia for consultations.
Oh, so it's not necessarily that they're pulling them out permanently. It's just that they're...
I mean, are you going to say permanently if you're doing that? If you're a country?
This is a I am not happy with the situation kind of action as far as publicity is concerned.
I wonder how long the, you know, France has had ambassadors actively here in the United States. Like, what's the streak? Has it been, you know, 40 years? Has it been, you know,
way longer? You know, way longer. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of years.
Right, but I mean without an interruption. You know, what's their streak? How long has France had an ambassador on US soil consecutively without recalling them back for one reason or another?
I mean, that's a good question. I would think they would get called back every once in a while, but
So I guess I kind of missed it. What is the thing that they're mad about with submarines?
Well, he goes on. This is another quote from the French foreign minister. This exceptional decision is justified by the exceptional gravity of the announcements made on the 15th of September by Australia and the United States. On Wednesday, President Joe Biden announced the security partnership with Australia and the UK. It will allow Australia to build nuclear-powered submarines for the first time using technology that the U.S. had only previously shared with Britain. Nuclear submarines offer more stealth capabilities, speed, and range than traditional submarines, and just a handful of countries, including China and Russia, have nuclear-powered submarines. I have a problem with this as well, because have you seen Australia recently? I mean, we've talked about it here on Free Talk Live and what's going on there and how they're trying to do the Reich thing. Yeah. For all of their people. I mean, Australia looks like the new the new Nazi Germany, in my opinion.
I mean, you know, a bigger question is Australia going to be able to afford these nuclear subs now?
My thought when I heard that we were having an alliance with Australia to go against China or whatever was, how many people are actually going to want to fight for Australia right now? Like, imagine being in that situation and being like, I'm going to war for you, government, right now. I mean, like, Is that just my way of thinking, or are they going to have a huge shortage of people willingly fighting for them?
You know, how can they afford to go to war? I mean, look, if you look at the economic situation of a lot of these countries, you know, they're locked down. Their economy has got to be at the point of collapse.
Oh, but
I mean, how are they papering over that?
They could just be like, all right, new job sector market open. We're going to take all of these factories that once made whatever, and now we're building war machines because we got to go to war. It's your duty to your country. And then, you know, oh, and new jobs.
Right. And we have, like, the internet exists, and so information travels faster than it ever has. I fail to see the point of building, well, anything warlike, any other war machines of really any kind. Already, the United States is the empire. It has all of the, we'll call it the best weapons, right? How do you know in the movies and TV when you're the baddie, when you're the bad guy? How do you know? You have the coolest stuff. You have the most stuff. You have the most evil-looking stuff, right? Because you have the largest budget to throw at it. Well, the United States and, well, arguably its allies, has all of that already. Now they want to bring Australia into the fold. Can you imagine an alliance between the United States, Australia, and Great Britain? A military alliance, if you will. That's a trio of death and destruction waiting to happen.
Tax the rich, fund the wars.
603-283-6160. Is France recalling its ambassadors a big deal? Give us a call. Let us know. More Free Talk Live is next. 616-0383-6160. That's the telephone number here for Free Talk Live. We're a live call-in radio program where you can call, talk about anything that's on your mind. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the Dr., Reverend, Lord, Captain Kickass, joining me.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
Bonnie, you had asked during the break, and there's some other stuff I wanted to say about my friend Dan, so I'm just going to get it out. Dan Kirk was a cancer survivor. He got the cancer. He did the chemotherapy. He got over it. He also had a heart attack 7 years ago, was in a coma for weeks. He recovered from that, and he's been fine for the last 7 years. What took him out, though, was another heart attack where he was sent to the hospital unconscious. And then while he was in ICU, he had yet another heart attack.
Oh, my goodness.
And he never regained consciousness from the first one, and that's the one that took him out.
Hmm.
So a fighter, a survivor. I talk about, you know, people have called in and asked, Captain Kickass, what kind of name? And I always talk about how I want people to be captains of themselves. Dan really epitomized that. He walked his own path. He did his own thing in his own way. He made his own way. He had no enemies that I can think of. I can't think of anybody that ever had a bad thing to say about this guy. He would constantly try and bring people together. You know, if he met folks, he did stuff for my band that, like, I can't even thank him for. He got us some airplay on the radio once, and, you know, hooked us up with some folks that got us some gigs and that type of thing. And he never asked for anything in return. And that's the part of him that I want folks to emulate. That's why I admire this guy, is because he did all these things, not just for me, but for a whole bunch of other people, and tried to bring them together, because there's too much divisiveness in the world today. And we need more folks that are trying to bring folks together instead of divide.
Yeah, you're so right. We do have, it does seem like a very unique person who will be like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's there's so few people out there. I mean, I can think of like a couple,
yeah.
But it's like, you know, I know a lot of people. It's
yeah.
Like you think you know more than a couple when you know, I don't even know how many people I know, but I know a lot of people. And it's like,
it's a difficult thing not to just take a side or be like so serious about your side being right, because I know, because when I went to a anti-police rally and there was pro-police people there,
right.
I was really annoyed to them, not being very nice to them. And then I hear Joa like trying to bridge the gap, and I was like really touched by that. There are people like that that can just be like, hey, listen, this is what we're saying and this is what you're saying. Here's where we can agree. I'm not one of those people.
Well, I think that, at least for me anyway, the reason that I am who I am and the way that I am now is because I have been willing to consider for a minute that my position on something might be wrong, and listen to the facts and the evidence for any side, for any, you know, and or go and research it myself and go, oh, look, what I thought was true totally isn't true based on the facts and evidence that I've found. So I'm willing to change my mind as a result of that. And so I think that that's, more of that needs to occur, and if there's more people out there that are able to do that for people, then I welcome them. If, particularly if you're freedom-minded. I know New Hampshire's been in the news recently with its filing of a proposal for secession, and so if we can attract more freedom-oriented people here to help make that go, perhaps we actually can see freedom in our lifetimes, or at least freedom from, you know, the United States government anyway.
You guys see the poll? I mean,
I did in the newspaper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got up to like 80%.
It got up to 85% of, I think it was 84%, but 84% of New Hampshireites support independence. That's unbelievable.
That's great. I mean, it is the live free or die state.
It
so,
is.
Like, I expect people to sort of take that to heart.
It wasn't like a scientific poll, so I don't know if you could say 85% of New Hampshireites, but I will say I like that it looked like that, so that way people reading will be like, oh,
I think you make a good
serious.
Point, and there's probably some truth to this. It may not be accurate. However, I think one of the things that is interesting about this poll is, one, it's the union leader. I mean, this is like...
It's the New Hampshire newspaper.
Union leader, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not libertarians, it's... Just, if anything, it's probably people on the left, right?
Yeah.
85% almost. 85%. Most independence movements, you're lucky if you have 5%. at the ones that are successful, they have over 50%, right? Canada, Quebec, when they tried to, become independent, I think they got like a little bit under 50%, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And it wasn't enough to turn them into independent. But that's what you would call a successful independence movement. So if New Hampshire is, even if it's 75%, right, that is substantial. And I think the other thing, it's interesting because this isn't the only polling that's been done. And one of the things that one person said who had gone around and asked, just your average people on the street, is would you support independence? And this was actually before this whole movement got started, the independence movement, that is, in New Hampshire. But he asked people on the street, like I think it was like one place was a polling booth, right? And more than half of the people said yes. And that's in step with this this other unscientific poll.
Well, and we talk all the time on Free Talk Live about planting seeds, right? Wherever you go, if you the speech that you use, the way that you talk about things, the language that you use will sometimes plant seeds. And I know that other secession movements have gotten press, right? We know that California has attempted some sort of a secession. There's been some talk about like part of Oregon wanting to like become part of, what is it, Idaho or something like that, because they don't get along with the other side, the other half of Oregon, that kind of a thing. We know that Texas has done a secession movement, or there's at least people who have talked about it. But I'm under the understanding now that process-wise, New Hampshire is the leader.
It is. And
because like it filed a thing, and so it's not, it is proposed language, but it could be put on up for vote, what, in 2022?
Yeah. Yeah, 2022. And it's the thing that's interesting about this is that all the other U.S. independence movements haven't gone anywhere. They don't even have support in the legislature.
Right. From what I read,
support in the legislature.
Right. From what I read, like the Texas one is just like a proposal for people to come together to try and think about what a proposal might look like to,
kind of a thing. It's like a way more difficult process to get something brought up to a vote in Texas, which is another reason that New Hampshire is the perfect place for the Free State Project.
It's interesting because we actually, the thing that's different about New Hampshire is that we actually have a legislature that is willing to say, yeah, we'll consider this, and people who are signing on to support it. Most of these other states, you can't even touch this subject without being laughed at and called out and made fun of.
Yeah.
But this is a serious conversation that's happening in New Hampshire about independence. And it's not just happening, amongst libertarians. This is something that's being talked about There was a talk that occurred, like a discussion that occurred that brought in people from opposing sides even, and there was an actual discussion.
I was going to say, as far as you were saying, Captain, about planting seeds, and as far as what you were saying about it's not just libertarians saying this, Sarah Silverman came out and said something to who is a native New Hampshireite. She said that she believes that if certain states in the union are not getting along, they should have an amicable divorce.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. That's some of the language that's been used around this, like divorce DC and that kind of a thing. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up. This is the Friday Night Edition.
When Monster Hunter International discovers one of Isaac Newton's wardstones being auctioned off, they decide to steal it and use it to destroy the Chaos God once and for all. But a mysterious thief upends their plan, and it soon becomes a race against time as something much older and infinitely more evil awakens in the jungles of South America. Monster Hunter Bloodlines by New York Times bestselling author Larry Correa and Bain Books. Visit MonsterHunterNation.com for more.
Yes, come on and listen to Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160 is the telephone number you need to, grab a crayon and write on your drywall, perhaps on the fridge. 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the Captain.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. You can go there now and click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find all sorts of valuable information neatly organized to suit your needs. There's no longer any excuse to ignore this very important and world-changing information. If you are a knowledgeable crypto user already, you can check out news.bitcoin.com and get all the latest headlines of the news that's relevant to you. Bitcoin.com is your source for everything crypto, like getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news all on a very slick and easy-to-use website. Please visit bitcoin.com. All right, so one final thing about this bit with France recalling its ambassadors from the U.S. and Australia because of a new agreement between Australia and the United States that allows Australia to build nuclear-powered submarines for the first time. The French ambassador, Le Drian, said that this new pact was an affront to France's previous agreement with Australia. So apparently there was some agreement between Australia and France that said, we're not going to build nuclear submarines for some reason.
Okay, I get it now. I thought they were mad that we were giving the technology to Australia and not France.
And not to France?
So, yeah. So wait a minute. As I understand it, France was supposed to be building nuclear subs for Australia, and it was the U.S. stealing that business that irritated France.
I don't know, because I pay so little attention to government-on-government action.
It's hard to get your mindset into the brain of, oh, I want to be the one to build these nuclear submarines. Yeah, I see what
it's
you mean.
Billions and billions of dollars. This is a huge, huge economic benefit to France if they can sell these nuclear subs or subs of any kind especially nuclear subs to Australia. And I think the differences between the U.S. deal and what was going to be the French deal is effectively that the technology is going to be transferred so that Australia can build its own subs.
Well, this one paragraph,
it's not just being handed subs.
Yeah, this one paragraph says it will allow Australia to build nuclear-powered submarines for the first time, using technology that the U.S. had only previously shared with Britain.
Right, it's a technology transfer.
Nuclear submarines offer more stealth capability, speed, and range than traditional submarines, yada, yada, yada.
So that's all that they do? They're not like, they don't have an a nuclear explosion, right?
Nuclear submarine refers to how the vessel is powered.
Oh, okay.
So in this case, I mean, they all carry missiles and, you know, armaments and that kind of a thing. Of course, they're machines of war. So it's not like they're unarmed. So I think it depends on the country and, like, what they have available.
I just realized it doesn't make sense anyway, because nuclear missiles have to fall, and that gravity is what makes the explosion so crazy.
So it's something that we'll certainly keep an eye on. It is interesting. I can't remember the last time, you know, ambassadors were recalled to their home country from the U.S. outside of Gulf One, so...
Well, this just goes to demonstrate just how much money these countries like France and the UK and the United States and Russia make from selling arms to other countries. It is a huge business. It's a business that is so large that France recalled its ambassador to the United States and to Australia.
Yeah, war's a racket.
That is huge.
Yeah. So I want to move on from that. I want to talk about a couple of things. Since I had a bit of dedication to my friend Dan Kirk earlier, he was a rock and roll fan. He loved regular rock, classic rock, heavy metal. He was a big fan of, like, Iron Maiden and stuff like that. He and I discussed this a couple of times, and it's worth mentioning again that after 9/11, the government sent a list of songs to radio stations that they strongly suggested radio stations do not play after the September 11th attacks on the towers, the planes flying into it, of course, September 11th. A loose list of songs circulated from higher-ups to ground-level DJs, which included essentially anything that could be remotely related to any of the tragic events that had taken place was constructed. These tracks were encouraged, it says here in italics, to be excluded from airplay, not banned. Some stations even disregarded the list and continued to play certain songs. Nonetheless, the infamous compilation remains intriguing. Numerous rock and metal bands populate a majority of the selection, including all Rage Against the Machine songs.
Oh my goodness. Wow, that's pretty telling.
Yeah, like when you're going to ban a band's, or a band, you're going to strongly suggest to all of your radio, all of the radio stations in the U.S. who play music that they don't play an entire artist's catalog in any way, shape, or form is pretty telling. There's more to
just
it.
Just because of its name.
It does start this top of the list, all Rage Against the Machine songs. Now, I give them a whole bunch of crap now because, well, they've kind of been cooperate with the machine more than raging against the machine as of late, but certainly their early stuff was far more anti and rebellious than their actions have been politically. But Drowning Pool, Bodies, I'm familiar with that one. That's Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, right?
I got scared one time because I knew it wasn't saying Let the Bonnies Hit the Floor, but like I was alone and I was just hearing Bonnies and I was like, no, I have to turn
Let
this.
The Bonnies Hit, but you're only one Bonnie. Yeah. So there would have to be two of you for it to be plural.
Well, there's probably more Bonnies.
Would you get together with a big group of Bonnies to have, like, Bonnie Fest?
No. Well, the one Bonnie Collar is pretty cool.
That's true. Mudvayne, Death Blooms, Megadeth, Dread and the Fugitive, Megadeth Sweating Bullets, of course. I'm surprised they didn't have Megadeth Peace Out, although maybe it's further down the list.
Well, I'm surprised this is, like, all... I guess I'm not that surprised. I was going to say I'm surprised it's all like metal or rock, but, you know, I guess
so
it makes sense.
So far, and it appears to be mostly metal and rock now that I... there's some pop in here, but it's not like the
what?
Newer pop, like Elton John, stuff like that.
There's Elton John songs that were banned?
Yeah, there's Saliva, there's POD, who I'm familiar with none of their catalog, a song called Boom. Metallica's got quite a few. They've got Seek and Destroy, Harvester of Sorrow, Enter Sandman, and Fade to Black. Fade to Black, of course, kind of got Metallica famous back in the day with the PMRC, that's the Parental Music Resource Center. They, along with a very religious nonprofit organization known as The Truth About Rock.
Oh, my goodness.
They put on seminars back in the day where they would go around from community to community and book, like, their high school auditorium.
Listen, kids, the devil created rock and roll.
Right, and they would do things like, okay, here's little Billy. Billy listened to Metallica's Seek and Destroy and, you know, tried to eat a gun and shoot his head off, but he failed, and now he's got half a face. Here's his picture. Don't listen to Metallica, right? Like, it was that kind of a thing. It was all... You know, like they're blaming the music for the, instead of blaming like bad parenting, instead of blaming, you know, the kid himself, you know, misdiagnosis of depression, stuff like that. No, they're going to blame the music.
Wow.
And so that's what they did back in the day. Same thing happened to AC/DC with, I think it was it Highway to Hell? I don't remember which one it was. We got some Godsmack, Tool, Intolerance, Soundgarden, Blow Up the Outside World. A whole bunch of AC/DC, Shot Down in Flames, Shoot to Thrill, Dirty Deeds, Highway to Hell. All the classics are in there.
I'm just completely shocked at Killer Queen. Like, why? Like, anybody's going to be like, oh my gosh, Killer Queen, that reminds me of 9/11.
Black Sabbath, War Pigs, of course, because, you know, you're going to war. Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, Suicide Solution, Holy Diver, Steve Miller Band, Jet Airliner, Van Halen Jump, Queen, Another One Bites the Dust, Queen, Killer Queen.
Alanis Morissette, Ironic. That's retarded.
The Bangles, Walk Like an Egyptian.
What?
Yeah, Walk Like an Egyptian. Fuel, Bad Day. Peter Gabriel, When You're Falling. Kansas, Dust in the Wind. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up. Yes, it is Free Talk Live. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us, is 603-283-6160. Phones are open. You can talk about anything. It's called Free Talk Live. No subject is taboo. The only rules that we really have is, well, no cussing.
You purposely say taboo and Yahoo.
Yahoo is what I like to say Yahoo instead of Yahoo. Occasionally I'll say taboo or
it is taboo.
Taboo or not taboo? Taboo, like taboo or taboo?
It's taboo, not taboo.
Taboo. We were talking about this. This is from loudwire.com, this list of hilarious list of songs that the United States government strongly encouraged radio stations not to play so strongly that they sent the list to all of the radio stations. And, you know, there's only like five or six companies that own all the radio stations, but they sent them to not only those companies, but to all of the distribution lists as well. Highly suggesting they don't play any of this stuff.
I'm not a music person, and I have no idea what these songs are. Mm-hmm. Can you guys give me a description? Like, what is it about these songs?
Let me tell you one.
Sure, go ahead.
Tom Petty, Free Fallin', has nothing to do with war, has nothing to do with anything like an explosion. It's just Tom Petty saying, Free Fallin'. And that's hilarious that they would not want that.
Yeah, the Foo Fighters have a song on this list called Learn to Fly.
So, they didn't take off Tom Petty's Learning to Fly. That's weird.
Well, I don't know if they did. But like, so these are like songs and song titles that may have content that could be construed as, I'm going to say, bad taste, maybe? Like, I think the government is afraid of, I don't know what they're afraid of. I don't know why. Like, other than controlling people, I don't know why.
Is this really something the government should be doing?
No, absolutely not, which is why I bring it up on this show, because this is what we do here at Free Talk Live.
Okay, so I get that some people may have, like, lost a loved one on September 11th. I get that, but seriously, it's the radio.
Beastie Boys' Sure Shot.
And also, I thought Sabotage by Beastie Boys was interesting because it almost sounds like an admission.
Yeah,
Sabotage, because it's an inside job.
Tom Petty, Free Fallin' did also make the list, by the way.
Free Fallin' and Learning to Fly?
Yep. Bruce Springsteen's I'm on Fire also made the list. So, yeah. And, you know, if you're on our social media, I will post this. Of course, you're not, you can go find us over at social.freetalklive.com.
It sounds like they were trying to control the atmosphere just generally in order to have more control.
Yes.
I mean, this is manipulation. It sounds like manipulation
now,
to me.
If I were a program director, I'd probably have gotten fired for doing this. But if I were a program director on a radio station and I received this list, I would just I'd be like, hey, guess what? We're changing our format today. We're just going to play all of these songs.
You want to play every Rage Against the Machine song, Captain?
I'd put it on random, you know, along with all these other songs, you know. But perhaps you could, you know, hey, let's do a Rage Hour, you know, an hour of Rage from 7 to 10 or whatever, right? You know, 7 to 8. But that's a thing that the government will do, right? When some sort of an event happens and they don't want to, like, exacerbate the situation in some way, shape, or form, they're going to send out a strongly recommended list of songs to ban from your radio station.
It's just such a do-nothing act that I think, if anything, the actual point of the government doing it was just to pretend that they were doing something or pretend that they cared. It just does nothing.
So, in other somewhat, it's not really related, but in the fact that it's related to music and radio shows, a local Vancouver radio show announces that they will only play music by vaccinated artists.
Oh, I did hear about this somehow.
How are they even going to know which artists
don't
are vaccinated?
No.
And what happens if some are vaccinated and some are not?
I guess that crosses Nicki Minaj right off the list. I don't know if you guys have heard. She got kicked off Twitter for questioning the vaccine.
She got canceled?
Yeah. Wow. Nicki Minaj got canceled. Not by, like, the Barbs, not by her fans, but by...
by Twitter.
Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter's like, nope, you're done.
Yeah. So
wow. Ridiculous.
This is a good opportunity to bring up Mastodon.
Yes, please. Let's do so.
So, Free Talk Live has a Mastodon feed that you can subscribe to, and it's basically like Twitter, except that it's decentralized, or what they call federated. And basically what that means is that you're not dependent on a particular company to exist. Okay. Nobody can kick you off. Now, some of the servers may ban you, but that just still means that your message gets through to whoever is not banning you effectively.
Right.
You can go to chat.freetalklive.com to learn how.
Exactly. No, wait. Chat.freetalklive.com.
Social.freetalklive.com.
Yeah, that's
Social.freetalklive.com.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's. I think you mentioned the... Now, Matrix is also awesome, and you should get on that too, but that's a more of a chat type of solution as opposed to
A decentralized, Twitter, federated, Twitter sort of competition.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj, after, I think right before she got kicked off, because they didn't delete her account, they like froze her out or something, but I think it was right before, she put up a poll, and the two answers you could choose from, she just wrote, take this poll, and the two answers were, the first one was, it's okay to ask questions. The second one was, I like being effing dumb.
Well, Mastodon has been getting super popular over the years, especially in more recent years. It used to be this thing that only techies were on, and then kind of libertarians kind of went on, and then conservatives. And I mean, with everybody getting kicked off of the other platforms, it's like it's long past due that people get on other platforms that are not centrally controlled, that don't have a corporation behind them, you know, telling you what you can and cannot
say. Or worse yet, have governments behind them telling them who to cancel and what they can and can't put on, such as Mark M. Efferberg.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty disturbing with the amount of censorship that's been going on lately. There was last week, I think it was, there was a group on Telegram even. Now, Telegram tends to be one of the least bad platforms that are centralized, where there is less censorship going on. However, when the government puts their finger on you, begin to squeal, and that's basically what's happened with Telegram. And so Telegram is no longer as safe. And last week they even censored a group that basically was involved with 3D printers. Think, well, why would you ban a group that's involved in the 3D printers? Well, some people in that group apparently had shared 3D printed designs for manufacturing guns, and not that they were illegal or anything.
Yeah,
it was just because, and
they just didn't like it, and they're like, nope, not going to have that on our platform.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah,
and
that sucks.
You have to remember that Telegram is not a U.S. corporation, so in a lot of the world, guns are illegal, and so is sharing it potentially. And this is one of the things that decentralization helps protect us against. It protects us against both governments as well as corporations, because it's not just governments you have to fear. The copyright cartels, like Disney and other companies, have been going after pirate groups on Telegram as well.
Well, even within the firearms industry, copyright is huge.
Right.
So like, if you're a gun company and you make this kind of gun, if somebody copies it, you could have a copyright case against them for a number of things. But what the decentralization and just the transmission of information does is it, just think of all the bureaucracy it cuts out, right? I think you had a pretty good list. It cuts out your local government, your state government. It cuts out the federal government. It cuts out the gun manufacturers.
The corporations.
Right, the corporations. Yep. And all you need is the raw materials and a couple of files, and you could print your own gun in your own home with your own 3D printer.
I hope that happened in some places where guns aren't allowed.
The thing that I find most disturbing is when they say we are going to delete groups that are terrorist groups. Because the problem with terrorism
Delete every government account ever.
Well, yeah, that's what I would like to see, but not really.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the people saying they're going to delete terrorist accounts. Start with government accounts.
The problem is, what is terrorism, right? And terrorism, if you look at what the governments consider around the world terrorism, a lot of them are freedom groups. They're groups that are pro-freedom. So it's basically code for saying we're going to censor the libertarians, or we're going to censor, whoever it is in your country that is in the minority.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that the governments have to create a whole new and messed up definition of the word terrorism just to make it not sound like themselves.
The G word has changed their definition of terrorism. It used to say the use of violence and intimidation, especially against civilians, in the pursuit of political aims. That's what it used to say. Now it says the unlawful use of violence and intimidation, especially against so
if it's legal, it's not terroristic.
The so-called terrorists on 9/11 killed 3,000 people. The U.S. government killed millions over the course of the war on terrorism.
603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. Hour number two is next.
Brute force. intransigent defiance, adamantine will. These are the hallmarks of the AI tank. These gigantic machines have the firepower of an army, but they also have their own sense of honor and duty. When the world breakers arrive, battle will be joined, planets will shake, and war and peace will never be the same again. World Breakers. Stories from David Weber, Larry Correa, and more. Available August 3rd from BaneBooks.com.
Free Talk Live.
Yes, hour number two of Free Talk Live is now underway. It's the Friday night edition. I am your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me in the studio,
it's Bonnie
and Chris.
We've been talking about a whole bunch of stuff earlier in the program. In the last hour, we mentioned NH Exit, and I wanted to clarify that the web address for them is nhexit.us. I believe I said .org, or I may not have mentioned the actual, whatever the dot is after that. But it is nhexit.us. For too long, the federal government has overstepped its bounds, refusing to abide by the Constitution and committing heinous war crimes both abroad and at home. They've destroyed the currency of the land and don't seem to care about their routine violations of our rights. Even if that wasn't the case, though, isn't it absurd that people in California and other states thousands of miles away get to determine who rules over you? At nhexit.us, we are trying to change that. We've proposed an amendment to the New Hampshire Constitution that would allow New Hampshire to declare its independence from the shenanigans, warmongering, and economic destruction wrought by the United States government. Sign the petition today at nhexit.us. Let's see New Hampshire exit the U.S. I'm all for that. In fact, I took just the verbiage of the proposal, the little paragraph that says, we will blah, 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 whatever. And I texted that to a couple of friends of mine outside of New Hampshire. They were blown away. They were like, wow, I guess New Hampshire really is the live free or die state, kind of thing. They're so isolated from any of this stuff that outside of me telling them about this stuff, it doesn't cross their radar. And so then, I'm planting seeds, as we talked about earlier.
It's kind of funny. We were talking about off air about how there really isn't, we're in a race was a quote in a story at freaking.com in regards to NH Exit. And, the joke or the funny thing about that is there isn't a race because there's nobody else really got a genuine, potentially successful.
California kind of mentioned it a little bit.
If you look at the numbers, though, there isn't a race. It's New Hampshire and nothing else.
Well, we're definitely leading as far as the, any states that want.
I just think that those people are trying to secede, so that there kind of is a race in a way, but it just points to the fact that New Hampshire is the only place that the Free State Project could ever exist because of the fact that it's obviously easiest to secede here. We just started and we're already further than them.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about the Free State Project. It doesn't really have anything to do with the Free State Project.
I think it does.
There's no other, outside the United States, there are genuine independence movements, right?
Yes.
But inside the United States, there's nothing that has more than 10% outside of New Hampshire in terms of support. And you don't get independence with 10% of the population supporting you. You get independence with 75% of the population supporting you.
Oh, I don't know if it's that high, but certainly we need more than the percentage that we have now to make it happen.
Okay,
yes.
So to back up a moment, it's 66% is the actual figure. You need 60%.
As far as voting is concerned, if you put it on a proposal, that is accurate.
You need 60% of the legislatures to support you, I believe, and then you need 66% of the people in New Hampshire to vote for independence in order for us to succeed.
I'm just excited that I've lived to see it, to see just the proposal.
Right?
I'm just excited. I'm like, I've never seen words written down like this before anywhere.
I've never seen anything that amounted to, New Hampshire is the greatest place to live by far. I mean, where else are you going to find something like this occurring? And it's let's be honest, it's all surrounding freedom. You're not going to see this anywhere else. If you want to be free, there is nowhere else in the world you can basically go and have a group of people actually working towards that end and succeeding.
We will have a successful secession. Can you succeed at seceding successfully?
New Hampshire might.
New Hampshire might. I had another slogan I came up with that if anybody out there in listener land wants to make a t-shirt, it was where all others have failed, we will secede. But you have to spell secede correctly for
right,
the
right.
We're to win the race.
Yeah.
Oh, those words are so similar. I screw them up all the time.
Yeah, so do many other people.
Yeah.
All right, so we were talking about this. Apparently there's a radio show that has decided that it's only going to play music by those artists who have received the COVID vaccine. And I have to ask out loud, because I know they can't answer, but what about the artists who got COVID and got over it? Are they going to play their stuff? As of September 13th, the Vancouver Co-op radio show Unsigned BC will only be playing music by those who have received the COVID vaccine.
I so wish we played music on this show just so we could play only music from people
right,
who yeah. didn't get it. And it's not that I care about whether you got it or not. It's just the principle of countering this kind of nonsense.
Right. Now, I think that this show should absolutely be allowed to do this. Right. I don't think government should have any intervention in this whatsoever. I don't think that anybody should really do anything about it. I think that it sucks that people are so brainwashed and so manipulated by the mass media that they're going to make a decision to do this. But whatever. As long as you say, Chris, if there were a competing show that decided to go the other way, that the same treatment would be had by them, which I suspect it would not have. But I don't know. I wish I were a radio, you know, DJ playing music. I tried to do that a couple of different times for some internet radio stations and didn't have any luck getting, you know, the gig. But, I mean, I could certainly do a heavy metal show, no problem. And I could certainly make it specialized in only heavy metal artists that, you know, have refused the vaccine. That wouldn't be very difficult to do.
Heavy metal artists and Nicki Minaj.
I mean, you know.
You'll be the only radio station playing her new album.
Maybe we could do like a mashup so like she's sort of metal. Anyway, this move, while unprecedented, is part of the ongoing effort to persuade more people to take the COVID-19 vaccination. Of course it is. As of September 13th, the show, which bills itself as a weekly program that plays 100% locally created music, will be cutting off support of any musicians in the British Columbia who have refused or have yet to take the vaccine. Okay, first of all,
I mean, this is such a PR piece, is it not? Because look at how many people are you really going to get the vaccine over this.
That was my thought exactly. In fact, I think that this might cause them backlash. Like, it's just making them look like a-holes.
Yeah, it sounds like such a PR nonsense.
Now, first and foremost, I can say from having been in a, we'll call it a local band, you know, we got to open for some very awesome bands and that kind of thing. It's not like we didn't have any great, but like when you're a local band, especially when you're starting out, you got nothing. You're paying to play. You put all your money into your instruments and, you know, renting a place where you as a band can rehearse loudly. You know, if you you don't have some rich parents' basement to practice in or whatever, that kind of stuff. So for them to take and cut off local musicians who basically aren't getting paid anyway, if not completely not getting paid anyway, and to cut off a potential stuff for your show just because you disagree with their personal medical decision is, I don't know, man. It just highlights the stupidity of the whole thing. It really gets my goat. It really burns my ass. It flabbers my gast.
It's ridiculous bullying. I think that if you're bullying someone into taking a vaccine that's been around for years, I think that's incredibly wrong. And this is an experimental vaccine that we don't know the long-term effects of, and you're literally messing up people's livelihood.
Yeah, it's interesting because it wouldn't, like, and the crazy thing is, like, there are other more traditional vaccines, so it's not, like, coming. So it's not even, like, But they're forcing you to take this more experimental vaccine, and it's like, what happens if it ends up going badly down the road. And so, it might, which is why they usually have much, much longer, like a year, many year-long periods of testing before they release a vaccine on the market.
And it also might go badly the week you get it, like lots of people have been reporting.
So this show is literally turning itself into a propaganda show instead of what it espouses to be. It says each episode consists of songs or reviews and a discussion on social issues using music to address the topic. The show regularly features experts such as guest hosts, from academics to politicians and advocates. So they're just chopping their audience in half by going this way. 603-283-6160. What is a digital driver's license? Coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. You may now unbuckle your seatbelts and move out of the cabin. Bonnie, are you going to show folks how to use the little butter cup that drops out of the sky?
Oh, I was doing the
seatbelt. Oh, the belt dance? Yeah. The belt dance is pretty cool. I like that one.
Is that a dance?
This is Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. If you'd like to join us again, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
Last year, we told you about Intercoin, which can help any business or organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. Now, Intercoin.org has launched worldwide. Is there a token you want to launch or an app you want to build? Go to Intercoin.org. Enter your email, and a team will get in touch and learn about your needs. And while you're there, if you want, get some Intercoins for yourself. Intercoin.org. All right, so I do want to talk about this digital driver's license thing. Our producers have brought some information to us with regards to a recent poll conducted that says approximately 37% of overall respondents indicating willingness to secede from the United States. And there's a map here over at brightlinewatch.org, way down the page, where you could kind of see the breakout by region that's divided into.
I'll be curious to see what your numbers say versus the story I just pulled up.
Okay.
Ew, I don't want us to be included with Pennsylvania.
Well, they've got the map divided into Pacific, which is all of the West Coast, including Alaska, Mountain, which of course is all of the desert states, and then as far north as Montana, the Heartland, which is North South Dakota all the way down to
Missouri.
It looks like Missouri. The South, which of course is Texas, all the way over to the Southern East Coast, and then the Northeast, of course, which looks like it's got all of the New England states in it, and maybe a couple of extras there, like Pennsylvania, for example. Do you have numbers?
Yeah, so this is shortly after Brexit vote. There was a poll from Reuters that showed about...
Reuters,
24% of Americans said they supported a state's choice to break from the U.S., while 53% said they were against it.
How many were 24?
So 24%.
So the polls are a little bit different. Yours says 24. This one says 37.
Yeah, and keep in mind that these questions are slightly different.
Right, they are. It's true. But still, that seems to me like an encouraging number. Just the fact that perhaps it has grown from the time of your report to the time of this one.
When was the Reuters?
It's possible. This is shortly after, I think this is in 2016, shortly after Brexit.
And this one was June 2021 when the article was published. Let's see what the... If I can find, in June of 2021, we surveyed. Okay, so June of this year.
So see what the difference is.
So
nice, it's rising.
Like,
makes sense.
Like 12% difference in growth.
I don't see why 30, anybody.
36% then? Support?
37.
37? Okay, yeah, okay. That's definitely growth as far as this is concerned. I did a quick search here to see if I could find a individual like Texas, what percentage of the population Texas support it. I unfortunately don't high that was a story on Texas, but unfortunately they didn't give a number on what percentage of Texans support independence for Texas.
It's not big.
It's I don't know what it is, but I would like to know, because we were having this discussion about how there is more support if you take a poll just generally of the in the United States about it versus a state that actually has an independence movement.
According to this map drawn from the poll in June of this year, the South, quote unquote, so that's Kentucky, looks like South Carolina, all the way down to Florida, all the way west over to Texas, including Oklahoma. It looks like the South is the highest of all, having a 44% support rate for secession. So just as the poll was asked. So it's interesting stuff. I teased about what is a digital driver's license, and I want to talk about that because it's creepy. But before we do, we've been talking about music. We talked about the songs that were soft banned, if you will, by the government. Government sent out a list after 9/11 of please don't play these songs on your radio station. And it was pretty hilarious. We talked about a radio program that is now only going to play music from artists who have vaccinated or been vaccinated. Not sure how they're going to know that.
I haven't seen that many celebrities.
Before you get airplay on our show, you got to show us your papers, your vax card or whatever. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Stupid.
But there's a stand-up comedian that's been in the news, and he was in the news recently and covered on Free Talk Live recently because he went on, I think it was Fox News or something, and quite literally badmouthed the Empire. And I've seen this guy live. In fact, Ian and I and a group of people went to see this guy during the original lockdowns when they were doing the drive-in theater style, attempt at entertainment with social distancing and all that kind of stuff. We went to see Jim Brewer. He played at the local fairgrounds here. And it was ironic and hilarious. I mean, Jim Brewer is a funny guy. He puts on a great stand-up show. But he also talked about how ludicrous the lockdowns were during his set and integrated that into his set. And I respect the crap out of this guy for that. In addition to which, he went on Fox News recently and just sort of badmouthed the Empire, which was great. But in addition to all of that, this from MRCTV.org, stand-up comic Jim Brewer cancels shows at venues that require vaccines.
That's awesome. That's what any artist should do, musician or comedian.
I've been looking for where are the artists, the rock and roll artists with balls, right? And Jim Brewer is a self-professed metalhead. He loves heavy metal and all that kind of thing. And so I jive with him on that level. I like a lot of the same bands he likes. We're fellow headbangers, if you will. And so apparently he's doing the opposite of what that radio show is doing. It says Jim Brewer is making changes to his stand-up comedy tour and his schedule due to COVID vaccine requirements. Though don't be alarmed, because he's one of the good ones. Brewer is canceling shows at venues that require vaccination proof. Well, that's refreshing. I agree. It is refreshing. Over the September 11th weekend, Brewer, Saturday Night Live alum and stand-up comedian, took to Facebook Live to tell his fans that he would be dropping performances at places that enforce vaccine requirements. Brewer said he would not participate in what he called a form of segregation.
That's awesome.
I agree with his assessment. It is a form of segregation.
And bullying.
It is also a form of bullying. And segregation, I guess, is a form of bullying, right? Even if you look at the old school definition of segregation. We could talk more about this. 603-283-6160. Your calls and thoughts are welcome as well. This is Free Talk Live.
After a devastating war, the alien visitors were driven back, and their willing human collaborators were left behind to face the music. When Emma Jean Anderson's ex-lover springs her from prison, Nathan Foster and his 14-year-old nephew, Ben, are tasked with bringing the pair to justice. An easy enough job until they discover something is inside Emma Jean, and the fate of the planet hangs in the balance. The Family Business by Mike Coopery from BaneBooks.com.
(603) 283-6160 Those are the magic digits that you need to get your voice heard on something like 180 radio stations nationwide. This is Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
Again, 603-283-6160. Just one final note about Jim Brewer. Apparently, some folks last night also covered this story. You don't have to worry if you've purchased a ticket to one of the venues that he's now boycotting because they require vaccinations. It sounds like folks are getting their money back and or getting a rescheduled show to a different venue. So, again, my applause to Mr. Jim Brewer and his choices in this matter. So, I had mentioned in the previous segment, also at the top of the hour, about something called a digital driver's license. And you're probably asking yourself, Captain, what is a digital driver's license? Well, it's something new, and I took a photo.
I was like, Captain, are you pulling yours up?
Download. Yes, I'm getting my digital driver. No, actually, I think only maybe one or two states, maybe, has this going on right now.
I can only imagine somebody driving through another state and pulling out their phone and being like...
Utah, apparently, according to this. So what I have is a picture of a pamphlet, if you will, some sort of marketing. It says, what are digital driver's license? Utah is one of the test states for DDL. It's known as DDL, Digital Driver's License 2022, and it will be launched fully. Below are some of the items that will be tracked or can be added at a later time. Digital driver's license now. Health records. Vaccine records. Financial reports. Credit scores. Travel records. Taxes. Vehicle registration. Spending. Voting. Sex offender status. Licenses and permits of all kinds, dietary preferences, outstanding parking fines and fees, background checks, rewards programs, and social credit scoring.
Oh my God, I was about to make it a comparison to that.
Yikes.
So, you remember we talked about on Free Talk Live, and several hosts have covered the social credit scores and the app that, what is it, China is using for that? And we all said, oh, yeah, well, coming soon. Coming soon to the United States. They're going to find a way to make that happen here in the United States. Well, it looks like they have, because I don't see any reason for my driver's... First of all, I don't see any reason for driver's license.
Yeah, you said it again. Right?
You know, but I don't see any reason for my health records to be tied to my driver's license.
Yeah, I can't even think of a reason the government needs to know my vaccination status / health records.
I can't think of any reason the government needs to know my credit score.
Yeah.
You know, those are good reasons, but I want to know what somebody does when they're pulled over on the side of the road and their phone is dead. Like, this just seems a bad idea written all over it.
Okay, so... apparently, this isn't a replacement. This pamphlet doesn't say this, but I believe the article that I have in front of me does at some point say that it's not a replacement, but this is in addition to having the card, right? So you're given a card that says, you have a driver's license. Here's your driver's license number. And then ostensibly, if you get pulled over, the cop takes your license, goes back to his Mick computer and his Mick mobile, and types in your driver's license number. And then it brings up your health records, your credit scores, your travel records, your taxes, your spending, your voting, your sex offender status, your licenses,
so
your permits, your dietary preferences, your parking fees and fines, your background checks, your reward programs, and your social credit
score. This is misleading. This isn't a digital driver's license. This is a social credit score kind of.
Correct. It's disguised as something called a DDL or a digital driver's license.
And it's crazy that the person pulling you over has access to your voting records. That means that people could be, you know, pulled over and immediately prejudiced against because of the way that they voted.
Oh, you're a Trumpansee? I'm going to write you a ticket.
I've never heard Trumpansee.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, that was my pet name for Trump supporters.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. When it was Obama, I called folks mindless Obamatons. Because, duh.
I'm like, Trumpansee. How did nobody else think of that?
I certainly didn't. I was using that a bunch. I didn't make that one up. I can't take credit. Somebody else made it up. But I thought it was so great that I began using it. And yes, I used it on air multiple times. But yeah, Trumpansee. I don't have one. The only thing I can think of for Biden, I still don't have one, is Emperor Biden. Because that is what he is. And his patience is wearing thin. Have you heard this? Have you heard that Biden's patience is wearing thin?
No.
Yeah, he went on television the other day to do his whatever he was doing.
Oh, yeah. And he said his patience is wearing thin for non-vaccinated people.
Right, yeah.
He said, listen, we tried doing this, we tried doing that, and our patience is wearing thin. I was like, ew.
Yeah, cry me a frickin' river, pal.
You know, my patience is wearing thin with the federal government, too, actually.
Yeah,
so
we should divorce them.
Why don't we split up?
Amen to that, brother. So at any rate, this digital driver's license is piloting in Utah in 2022, and it's going to contain all this other crap that has nothing to do with your dietary preferences.
I know. I was even thinking, like, okay, obviously, what does the government need that for?
So they know what to feed you when they kid you.
I was literally about to bring that up. I was like, is it just so they know that they're giving vegetarian meals in jail?
I mean... I don't know.
It's probably more for appearance purposes because, honestly, they probably won't care.
So it's called a digital driver's license at the top of this pamphlet. And then below this list of all of the things that a driver's license should have nothing to do with at all, ever, period, it says the slogan for MDL, mobile driver's license, is mobile driver's license, the future of identity.
I'm still trying to understand why we have pictures on our driver's licenses, right? Like, supposedly the driver's license is not about IDing you for, like, alcohol. It's about whether or not you have been certified. I mean, at least this is what they tell me, right? Even though this is not why driver's licenses were started. But supposedly it's to tell the officer that you are capable of driving. Why do you need a picture for that? And they had before in the 90s, I remember driver's licenses didn't have a picture attached.
Yeah, it's like, do I need a picture on my library card to check books out at the library? No.
Nope.
Sure don't.
Nope. And people might be wondering, well, how is an officer supposed to know if it's really you? And the answer is pretty simple. If they look at, like, the color of your eyes and your hair color and some other factors and your height, you know, yeah, it's not 100%, but it's sufficient.
So this article from ThalesGroup.com, T-H-A-L-E-S, Thales Group. No, I'm not lisping. A digital driver's license is a highly secure version of your physical driver's license or ID card.
Highly secure. What do you think about that, Chris?
Stored on your smartphone. One of the least secure devices on planet Earth.
You know, this reminds me of a story that I covered on Freedom Decrypted at one point about how New Jersey was basically handing the federal government my photo of my driver's license, is that piece of information that they said they would never distribute. And, you know, years later, I'm finding out that they gave the federal government. And the humorous thing is, this is stuff that they had in a database that they held for years and years and years. And then, way after I left the state, then they gave it to the federal government.
Well, the article goes on to say, this is not a replacement for the actual card, rather a supplement to it. Similar to how credit cards, cash, and keys have all begun to evolve and find their place on our smartphones, a digital driver's license on your device means you'll always have it, even if you leave your wallet or purse at home. How do you get one? Once DDL has been implemented in your state, the enrollment process will be quite straightforward.
Are they serious? I have to say, I don't usually walk out of the house without my wallet, but I certainly have occasionally walked out without my phone.
This has to be the same thing as the social credit app that China is using, repackaged by the state, of course, to be disguised as a driver's license app. That,
more convenient.
Liars and thieves.
And it carries all this other information that the government has no business in. 603-283-6160. Is this digital driver's license the future? Welcome back to the program, everybody. It is Free Talk Live. I am your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. If you'd like to join us, talk about whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. Joining me, it's
Bonnie.
And Chris.
Get your early bird tickets now for Liberty in Our Lifetime, an event happening in Mulheim, Switzerland, hosted by the Free Private Cities Foundation. But move quickly. The early bird rate only lasts until September 20th. So a couple of days, guys. It's the 17th today. After that, you can still get tickets at LifetimeLiberty.com. LifetimeLiberty.com. Liberty in Our Lifetime aims to explore projects happening right now around the world that are working to achieve that lofty goal of securing freedom in our lifetime. Speakers from Crypto Valley, Prospera, the Seasteading Institute, and more will be speaking at this October 16th event. But maybe going to Switzerland isn't your thing. It may be a bit much to plan an international trip to Switzerland at the moment, and that's okay. Digital tickets are available at LifetimeLiberty.com. See what people are doing all around the world to create voluntary societies with a live and let live attitude at LifetimeLiberty.com. I'm a big fan of the Seasteading Institute, amongst other organizations. You know, these are all ideas whose time has come, and that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're talking about this digital driver's license and what it is, and apparently the government wants to wrap up all sorts of things into your digital driver's license, including but not limited to your... Oh, I'm having a malfunction.
Yeah, I saw
malfunction.
That. I just think that the fact that they're adding all these extra things other than just the driver's license portion of this,
yeah,
it's proof that, I believe that people are going to all, bite into this and just give away all of their information to the government because yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago on the show, it was She Talk Live. They were talking about how ridiculous it is that everything has to be a smart thing in your house and everything is connected to Wi-Fi and totally susceptible to hacking and everything and giving away so much of your information.
Yep.
Just use it. Well, people do that just because it's convenient. And I think that they're going to be like, oh, that sounds convenient. I won't have to bring my purse. It'll just be on my phone. Oh, convenient.
So many things, though, like your credit score, travel records, your taxes.
Nobody cares.
Your spending, your voting preference, your sex offender status, if you have one, licenses and permits of all kinds. This is just the list from the brochure. Dietary preferences. Nobody needs to know that.
I like how they put social credit score last.
And it's there, though. Social credit scoring. What is that? What is social credit scoring?
Yeah, we don't have
how
that
will
yet.
It be used? We don't have it here. It doesn't exist. Why is it on this thing?
As soon as it's rolled out, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ignore it, not care what other people's or mine says.
Well, I mean, the idea behind it is that they will be forced to effectively determine whether or not you can get a loan, you know, based on your social credit score.
I don't need blood money.
Or whether or not you can rent an apartment. Or right, because
it talked about having a record of your background checks.
Right, right. Or buy a house.
What
maybe.
Does that mean?
You know, all those things will be restricted based off your credit, social credit score.
Don't work with people that listen to that law
it's
at all.
Easy.
Only work with people who, you know, say F you government and don't
it's easy
implement
to,
that.
It's easy to say that. It's harder to do.
Not if everyone's doing it. If everyone complies, then it's hard.
And again, this is the problem. This is why the Free State Project, you know, was created.
Compliance
right.
makes it.
It's because nobody... When you're all alone, you're forced to do these things. But when you're not, when you're amongst other like-minded people, you can put up some sort of resistance.
It's my opinion that you're never forced to do anything. You either...
You always have a choice.
I mean, you have a choice of death or comply.
Yeah.
I don't think it's always death.
Well,
we're not saying it's always
death. Particularly when it comes to the state. Right? When the state says do something, it's usually comply or die.
I mean, or you know, sit the rest of your life in a cage.
Not directly, right? But like up to.
And I'll give you an example of this, right? I'm a perfectly capable driver. I've gotten a driver's licenses. You know, I have a driver's license. But if I decided to turn my driver's license in, right? I don't even know if you can do that. But let's say we let it expire, right? And I continue to drive. They pull me over. They'll tow the car, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens three times, I get convicted three times of driving without a license, minimum 1 year in jail.
Right.
If I keep doing that, I'm going to spend the rest of my life in jail.
Right.
It's easy to say that you're going to resist. It's a lot harder to actually do
it. That's something
it.
That's been established, and people have already messed up. People before I was born have messed up and started complying with that.
I agree.
We could start now and not comply with social credit scores. It's BS.
And the way we need to start doing it is by stopping by getting together in New Hampshire and not participating with driver's license.
Yeah, I think a lot of people
not doing the things that were already the oppression that's already here, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to fight something that's going to be here. We want to fight something that's already here.
Yeah. And for those of you listening who want to know, well, what can you do about how horrible government has become? Well, I've got a thing everybody can do. Start saying this two-letter word. No. Really, just try it on for size. The next time somebody asks you, hey, you know, would you like, just go, no. Try that. See what happens. Start with two letters. N-O. No.
Whenever your boss says, hey, can you sweep up that area over there and it's not your job?
I'm talking about interaction.
No.
You're fired.
No, I hate jobs.
So this article, or this isn't the article, by the way. This is apparently Thales Group. .com is the group behind this digital driver's license. And so this is their presentation for, like, you know, states, like what they would do. So presenting your digital driver's license to law enforcement. It will be up to each state and local law enforcement agency to determine what procedures and methods work best with their existing protocol. The idea is that citizens will be able to present their digital driver's license to law enforcement, and law enforcement will have access to all the information they have from the physical car.
So let me get this straight. You have no idea which law enforcement, depending on where you are, will or will not accept this digital license. What's the point of the digital license in that case?
Well, they want to roll it out to all the states, right? So it's just Utah is the first one to sign on.
You're going
to
have this digital license, and parts of Utah, it may be good, and you might be able to use it. In other parts of Utah, it may not be good because it's a different department.
Here's a hidden thing that I just thought of when we were at break regarding this, because I had read this paragraph. And that is that there has been a whole bunch of legislation surrounding your cell phone, right? So, like, if your cell phone is locked, well, law enforcement needs a warrant to get into it. They need to take it away from you. If your phone is encrypted, they need to go through a large and extensive process just to try and get into your phone.
Unless you have facial recognition.
Or fingerprints, right? They can swipe your finger for you or whatever.
Okay.
But wait, let me finish. What I'm saying is this gives law enforcement an excuse for you to have to unlock your phone and open it and show it to them.
Ooh.
Right? Because, like, normally, hey, can I see your driver's license? Most states, your insurance. And you go, yeah, sure. And they go, hey, this is great. Can I also see your digital driver's license, please?
And then what, are they going to take your phone from you and go back to their vehicle in order to enter into a computer? I mean, this just seems like a really bad idea all over.
I imagine they're able to take the card back to their computer and enter your driver's license number in their computer and see all the same information. But it just gives them another excuse to root around in your personal device.
I really don't understand this. I mean, like, either they're like where is the benefit of this? It does not seem to have anything to do with driver's licenses.
It's so convenient. It'll be all in one place.
But
it'll
but,
be on Wi-Fi.
But they can't take your phone. I mean, who's going to let them take
your
phone?
Just hang on. There's more. But
back
wait.
To their vehicle in order to...
Ew, yeah, I didn't think about that. Right.
But wait, there's more. Presenting your digital driver's license for age verification. To buy age-restricted goods, like alcohol, the cashier will ask to see your ID. They need to verify it's a valid ID, that you're above the age restriction, and that you are indeed the rightful owner of the ID. Face matches the picture. They don't need to see your full name, address, and other personal information. Neither does the government. With a digital driver's license, the cashier can scan your DDL and receive real-time confirmation that your ID is valid and you are above the age restriction. They'll also be able to perform a visual confirmation that you are indeed the person pictured. Use of your DDL with the TSA.
Oh, yeah, I just went through that.
When going through security at the airport, travelers who prefer to use their mobile device will be able to seamlessly present their digital driver's license using their smartphone.
It's not easier. It's a lot easier to pull something out of a wallet.
This process is similar to scanning a mobile boarding pass. Because, you know, they're putting your boarding pass on your smart device now. Airport security personnel will be able to quickly and easily confirm the validity of the credential using a trusted document verification process. And I guarantee that that process does not include the blockchain. 603-283-6160. Still to come. Shocking. Oh, wait. No, that's not it. We'll have more. Free Talk Live on its way.
When a lunar observatory detects a radio broadcast originating from Proxima Centauri, the nations of Earth discover their first contact with an alien race may also be their last. With the Proximans facing an extinction-level disaster, Earth must choose between sending a ship on a multi-year journey or allowing nature to take its course. Saving Proxima, a hard science fiction thriller by Travis S. Taylor and Les Johnson. From BaneBooks.com.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Yes, that is the name of the program. What is Free Talk Live? Well, we're a live call-in radio talk program where you can take control of the airwaves, talk about anything that's on your mind. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
So, digital driver's license, man. Like, I just don't... It seems I knew that they were going to wrap up the Chinese, you know, social credit score app some way, somehow. And it looks like this is how they're going to disguise it as your driver's license, because driving is a privilege, not a right, according to your favorite government. So we've got more to talk about. But first, let's go to Tom in New Hampshire. Tom. You're on Free Talk Live.
I was just reading something on the USA Today website. A New York City hostess was beaten by three customers or would-be customers going into a restaurant. The hostess had to check their vaccine passports, and the three suspects got mad and just started pounding on her and wailing on her, because these three suspects, they're big and tough. And they can handle this. They're going to fight back against the hostess. And then it says the three suspects were taken into New York Police Department custody. Oh, wait a second. They're big and tough when they're taking on the hostess. But what about when it comes to taking on the cops? Oh, no, now they're too pusillanimous to fight back against the cops.
Oh, you're gonna have to tell our listeners what... Oh, we've got an echo. What pusillanimous means?
Pusillanimous is a fancy vocabulary word that people who like to show off their vocabulary use when they mean chicken. They're too cowardly to do that. You know, it's kind of like people who go out and riot. You know, what do we want? Justice. When do we want it now? And they destroy the property of innocent people beat up innocent people instead of going out and killing cops.
I'm concerned about this event because, of course, this is being painted, or at least folks who choose not to be vaccinated are going to be painted stereotypically according to what the news carries. And you said USA Today. I'm looking at one from NBCNewYork.com. Carmine's Hostess, that's apparently the restaurant, attacked after asking tourists for vaccination proof to dine inside. Let's see. Hostess was just asking to see proof of COVID. Exclusive cell phone video obtained by NBC New York shows the Thursday evening attack outside of the restaurant around 5 p.m. Tempers flared, and the hostess stand is nearly tipped over in the mayhem. A waiter at one point helping carry someone away from the scene. The 22-year-old hostess asked the group of Texans to show proof of getting COVID vaccine in order to dine in the restaurant, part of NYC's executive order that went into effect this week. Law enforcement sources say that the hostess was then repeatedly punched in the face and sent to the hospital.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, also remember, don't get mad at the bouncer who chases you away if you're underage. It's the cops that are intimidating the bouncer into not serving alcoholic drinks to people younger than 21. It's the cops that are intimidating the hostess into not admitting people without the vaccine passport.
I mean, yeah, agreed.
Like, the fault of cops.
But, yeah. You know, I don't know. I think you have to extend that to politicians. I mean, the politicians were the ones that wrote the laws. The cops don't have an excuse
but
for obeying them.
This is the problem that I have with this type of a thing. First of all, it's a mandate, not a law, right? Second of all, the government is putting businesses in the awkward position of law enforcement.
Yeah.
Right? Mandate enforcement, if you will, since it's not technically a law, it's a mandate. So now, all of a sudden, your business not only has to conduct business, right? You have to, in this case, a restaurant. You have to make the food. You have to prep the food. You have to cook the food. You have to serve the food. You have to, you know, escort people in and out of your establishment. You have to do all the things that this type of business requires just to make some money, is now also responsible for enforcing a government mandate. And it's ridiculous.
Honestly, I feel worse for the businesses that are being bullied into doing the sorts of things more so than I am, you know, on about basically anything else. It's like, you know, I get that the customer is upset, but like the business has to deal with this now, you know?
Well, you know, the COVID situation is very much like the war for non-smokers' rights, when you say, well, you know, it ought to be up to each individual business. And yeah, what happens when the business doesn't allow smoking? There was, on 14 February of 1997, a cab driver in Manchester said you can't smoke in the taxi, and he was being attacked by the smoker that also refused to extinguish the cigarette. So the driver drew a Glock 9mm, he extinguished the smoker, and he went to prison for murder as if he had done something wrong.
Well, I mean, that's, there's a difference between, so there's like levels of like force that may be or may not be reasonable depending on the circumstances. I'm not necessarily sure that killing somebody is warranted just because they won't put out a cigarette. However,
in neither case is it warranted, but there's a huge difference between smoking a cigarette and not getting a COVID vaccine. And I can say for certainty that during this entire thing, whatever you want to call it, the COVID clown show, they have still yet to address natural immunity, people who have gotten COVID and gotten over it. They instead say that, oh, well, you still have to get the vaccine. The FIM, right? I had COVID, I got over it, and every study that I read says, oh, natural immunity actually may be far superior to anything the vaccine can do for you. And I'm sorry, but I'm taking my chances with Mother Nature. Thanks for the call tonight, Tom. I appreciate it. It is ridiculous. And of course, the media's got everybody hyped up into a frenzy. They've got the division, I mean, just cutting through all sorts of things. People are losing friends.
Everybody feels so self-righteous, like, I should be allowed into this restaurant. I should be allowed to be around only vaccinated people. I should be allowed. Yeah, you don't get things like that just for living in the world.
It is a form of segregation, as we've said earlier on the show. It is bullying. It's terrorism is really what it is. You know, we're talking about people are being shamed. You don't have the vaccine. You're a horrible person. You should burn in hell and die for all eternity in the hellfire and all that crap. So, yeah, I mean, don't resort to violence, people. If you go to a place and they're like, hey, you can't come in unless you show a thing, then go to another place. Vote with your wallet.
I agree. I think there is a problem here, but the solution is, I mean, because the solution clearly isn't go to another place, because in most of the time that there isn't another place if you're in New York. But the solution to that is go to another state.
I'd be willing to bet there are places in New York that just straight up ignore this thing.
Is it not state mandated, or
it's a mandate, but I'm still saying, like, it's up to these restaurants to do the enforcement.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't, though, they get penalized, they get fined, or they get caught. Which is, you know, right?
I'm just saying that tattletales
all over the place, man.
Of course there are, but I'm just saying that, like, I'd be willing to bet that there are places in New York that are just, like, at least far more lenient than others, at a minimum. So thanks, Tom, for bringing that up, and thanks for the call tonight.
It was really disturbing. I mean, I think it's disturbing that people are listening to this mandate and keeping people who haven't gotten an experimental shot in their arm out of their restaurants. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that the government thinks they have that kind of power to tell businesses what to do. But it's also ridiculous that if you go to a business who is choosing to enforce these crappy rules, instead of being like, okay, I'm going somewhere else, you attack the person who's standing there trying to work.
Well, and let's not forget that the state is not beyond agents provocateur. What is agents provocateur? When the state employs somebody to go cause a scene somewhere or otherwise disturb, like a protest, for example. This says the Hospitality Alliance is calling on the city and state to increase penalties for assaulting restaurant workers who are trying to enforce.
Look what they did on 9/11.
More Free Talk Live is coming up. 603-283-6160. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number in the studio, if you'd like to join us and comment on anything we've covered tonight or anything else that you'd like to talk about, you're free to call 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the Captain.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down really at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com. And then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. Again, visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. Video.freetalklive.com. All right, so Tom, who called in the previous segment, said that a hostess at a restaurant in New York City was attacked as she was asking some folks for their COVID papers. The papers, please. And so I opined, of course, that I don't like that the government have put businesses in charge of enforcement of a mandate, which isn't even a law, by the way. Now, I just want to make a correction here, because Tom used words like these big bad men, these dudes, these guys. Well, it wasn't. This from ABCNews.com. The incident took place at Carmine's Italian restaurant in the Upper West Side neighborhood of Manhattan. According to the New York Police Department, three women from Texas, a 44-year-old and her 21-year-old daughter, as well as another 49-year-old, tried to enter the restaurant when they were asked for proof of vaccination, according to the police department. So, looks like it was a chick fight. I don't know that that's important. I just wanted to make the clarification that the information Tom was giving us was incorrect.
It seems retarded to be from Texas and to just go to New York City right now. How about just stay in Texas? When I was down there just now, I didn't have to wear a mask the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say I haven't left New Hampshire in like 2 years. Yeah. And I used to go out of state like, well, I don't want to say I've never left New Hampshire, but I haven't gone very far, let's put it that way. And 2 years, and it's crazy. I don't know why anybody would want to leave this place. And this
especially is, to go to New York City
right
now.
Yeah.
And this article has the type of verbiage that's going to make otherwise uninformed people form a stereotype. Assaulting a restaurant worker for doing their job is abhorrent and must be punished. Well, when your government makes this hostess at a restaurant the enforcer for your, I'm going to say, illegal mandate.
Unjust, if nothing else.
Then, you know, I'm not surprised something like this has happened. And I don't think this will be the last time we'll report on something like this happening, that it will show up on our radar here at Free Talk Live. It's going to get worse before it gets better, people, unless everybody starts saying no. N-O. No.
Yeah, this is more about, you know, blindly complying than it is about anything else. It could be something else, you know, that they order you to do that's just dumb, or maybe it's smart, but the fact is they shouldn't be ordering you to do it.
The end of this article says COVID-19 has killed one in every 500 Americans. I wonder where they get the stat from. It
yeah, I was going to say.
Because that seems awfully high.
Yeah, that sounds much higher than I thought it was.
Awfully high. All right, let's move on. We talked about Jim Brewer. We talked about the digital.
That's still pretty small, though, actually, statistically.
Yeah, what's the Dunbar number? Like 25 people or something?
Yeah.
Like your immediate social circle can only be whatever the Dunbar number, and maybe it's 100 people or something. It's a small number. I think it's less than 50. But
I feel like 50 people is a lot.
Yeah, me too.
It was quite a bit.
But, you know, the Dunbar number just says that it's impossible for you to keep a larger social circle than that. Now, some people, you know, that's the average, right? Some people can have a larger and some don't and that type of a thing. But one in 500, it would be, I mean, I've probably met 500 people in my life for sure. But do I know 500 people? I don't know.
I think a lot of that depends on, like, what do you define as no? You know, it's like if you're talking about, you know, going to events and things like that and meeting people, I don't know. You could probably do a lot more. You could probably do 500 people. I mean, just because you don't know them well doesn't mean you don't know them. I mean, you might know their name or
I wonder
their
what
face.
Else like one in 500 people will die from in a year. And is that total? Is there a figure like for just this year, 2021, or since like COVID was a thing?
I mean,
which would be like almost 2 years now.
I mean, I know COVID, at least in the early days, was a little bit worse than the flu as far as the death rate was concerned. You know, but
last I saw, still more greater than 99% chance of recovery.
Yeah, last I saw in my age group, it was like 99.996% chance of me surviving, which I did.
And I survived as well as a 49-year-old man, so, you know, and I'm not the healthiest guy on planet Earth. So, Bonnie, you actually brought this next bit in from the New York Post.
We're talking about sexy men.
Well, are we, though? Because the headline here says, The Guardian proclaims Anthony Fauci as, quote, sexiest man alive, unquote.
It's ridiculous. Even if I didn't know anything about him, and he was just like some Peace Award winner, and I would just think this was ridiculous because he's so, I mean, he's not so ugly. He's just like not cute. I'm not above thinking old men are hot. He is not a hot old man.
I don't find tyrants attractive really at all, ever.
It makes it even worse the more you learn about him. Oh, he basically created the AIDS pandemic. Not sexy.
Dude, this guy is not at all sexy. He's this old dude. I mean,
his wife is terrifying.
And I'd just like to remind our listeners that Chris here is attracted to men. So he's speaking from his preference.
Look, I'm not the youngest guy in the room here. I'm getting close to 40.
And wait, you are
actually,
the youngest.
You
in
are
the room.
Youngest guy in the room.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're
yeah,
not the youngest person.
You're right. You're right. So I'm not the youngest person in the room, and I'm telling you, this guy is not attractive.
Dr. Anthony, I'm sorry, did you want to read this? Or
I don't have it up.
I'll just go.
Go ahead.
Dr. Anthony Fauci was dubbed the sexiest man alive by the Guardian newspaper, prompting some on social media to question whether the British Daily had shifted to satire. Like me, I question that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a British newspaper?
The Guardian, yeah. Yeah. Fauci, who's 80, was given the unofficial title by the paper in an Instagram post Monday, highlighting a new film about the Brooklyn-born physician who has become an unlikely cult hero? I'm sorry, there's nothing heroic about Anthony Fauci and his lies. I can't believe folks think of him as a cult hero in any sort of way.
Cults, sure, but hero?
More Free Talk Live is coming up.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing, too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
I mean, this is unbelievable. This seems to me that everybody at The Guardian has a large case of Stockholm Syndrome, because I don't know how you could have find your oppressors attractive in any way, shape, or form. Dr. Anthony Fauci, as we've said, dubbed the sexiest man alive by The Guardian newspaper. Fauci, 80 years old, was given the unofficial title by the paper in an Instagram post on Monday. The U.S. disease expert has been spoofed by Brad Pitt and lauded as the sexiest man alive, the post read. Now the pop culture phenomenon is the focus of a documentary appropriately titled Fauci.
Wow, pop culture phenomenon.
No, I'm sorry, no.
Yes, Icon, you totally created the AIDS pandemic. It's so cool.
The documentary, co-directed by Emmy winners John Hoffman and Janet Tobias, was released Friday. It's billed as an intimate look into the life of Fauci, whose career spanned seven presidents and was bookended by two pandemics, including HIV and COVID-19.
There's only been one hot politician. Do you know who he is? Chris, who is he?
Ian Freeman?
Oh, no, he's not a politician.
He's well, run for office.
He has run
okay,
for
well,
office.
Then Ian Freeman and...
So Ian
John
Freeman is your boyfriend.
You're going on the Kennedy
just to,
road.
To clarify this for listeners.
Yes, and John F. Kennedy.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's been some, you know, some female candidates that have been average to above average in attractiveness until they open their frickin' mouth.
Yeah, I mean, AOC has horse teeth.
Well, and I didn't even mean that. I just mean like
<I know. laughs>
the crap that comes out of their mouth, the statist crap, like, you know. And I keep telling people this, but it's Alexandria Ocasio Cortez. You have to pronounce it right. It's not Ocasio. It's Ocasio. Alexandria Ocasio.
Ocasio. That's how you can remember.
You've got a frickin' horse face. Wait, sorry, just had to finish that up. Anyway, in the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
If you want to call and comment or talk about something, the telephone number is 603-283-6160. This article continues. At the core of Tony's popularity.
Tony.
Tony. They're calling him Tony.
Tony.
At the core of Tony's popularity. Now, I'm not going to finish reading this. I'm going to tell you what I think is at the core of Tony's popularity. The government putting him on television.
Brainwashing. Propaganda.
That is at the core of Tony's popularity. Let's see what this sentence says. This is a quote, too, by I don't know who. At the core of Tony's popularity is that people intuit that this is a man who is speaking the truth and who will not let anything stand in the way, Hoffman told The Guardian. Tony is the signal amid the noise. People are able to sense that there's a lot of noise and their ears are trying to find the signal. And Tony is the signal.
Maybe because he's been pushed by everybody, like to be the only person who's allowed to be right about COVID when he changes his mind all the time and he has been caught, you know, withholding information, like when his emails were leaked that showed that he was telling people not to talk about the possibility that the virus may have originated in the labs in Wuhan.
Yeah. And on top, I mean, he has lied about so many things and flip flop, which is another word for lie, by the way. If he said one thing and then later on he goes against what he said earlier, that's also known as a lie. So he's done all of that. This guy is making Mr. Fauci, use the term Mr. very loosely, out to be a beacon of goodness and truth? No, I'm sorry. That is not true. You know what a beacon of goodness and truth is? This radio show that you're listening to, Free Talk Live, that is a beacon in a sea of crap.
If I had to choose a hot man around his age bracket, I'd say Sam Elliott.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been popular with the ladies, it's true. Anthony Fauci, an 80-year-old, this is, I believe, from their actual post, their Instagram post. The sexiest man alive, Anthony Fauci, an 80-year-old scientist, doctor, and public servant. Oh, yeah? I'm part of the public. I'd like to see him fired. Oh, I can't do that. He's not a public servant.
I don't think he served anybody in 2020, 2021.
He's become an unlikely cult hero for millions. Well, he's certainly leading a cult anyway, or a big part of a cult.
That's funny. I feel like that's the secret underground reason that they're actually calling it that. Like, I would never consider it a cult following. Like, it's more like mainstream. Ariana Grande was singing about him. Mainstream media praises him. It's not a cult following. That's not how you define that. They're just using that word because they're laughing in people's faces like you're in a cult.
I mean, it's an interesting choice of words. Like, I don't necessarily... Usually, I don't think when somebody's calling something a cult, it's usually, like, in a negative context. Like, yeah. It's putting it down. It sounds like satire to me. It really does.
Well, Instagram users weren't wowed by the newspaper's take on Fauci, with one person writing, "Satire, I assume?" Another wondered whether they had stumbled onto The Onion, a satirical news outlet, by mistake. "Where is Ashton?" one person wrote, referencing the former host of MTV's Practical Joke Show. "I'm being punked, right?"
Ashton Kutcher. Also a hot older guy. He's not old.
Others flatly asked if the post was a joke, while one woman said, "Turning doctors into messiahs was not helpful. He's just a bloke who is quite knowledgeable about disease," her reply read. "When we make one of them the oracle, though, that's when the trouble starts. Science works on proven fact, not the cult of personality. We are not all looking for a definitive answer in some guy with a tie. Can't we just accept that it is a moving thing right now and not tie ourselves to one person as the expert?" I like this lady.
I mean, the problem... Okay, so here's the problem as I see it. He's a liar. The guy is like, there's no other word to describe this guy. Is a liar. From the very beginning, he lied to us, and he just constantly kept lying.
Just
he never
two weeks.
Stopped.
Just two weeks, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, from the 2 weeks thing to saying masks don't help when he knew they might, even though we didn't know whether they did or didn't. But the reason for that was pretty apparent at the time, and it was because they didn't have enough masks for hospital workers. And it's like, and then of course they tell you, oh, the masks do work, and now they're mandated, but not the masks that you're actually being mandated to wear because they're cloth masks. And then it just keeps going again and again and again. And it's like there was no point. I don't think there was a single thing that he said that out of his mouth that wasn't a lie. Whatever he said, just believe the opposite.
Furthermore, more than 28,000 people signed a change.org petition that was launched during the early month of the pandemic, calling for People magazine to name Fauci its sexiest man alive in 2020. 28,000 people.
That's ridiculous.
"His comforting and intelligent demeanor has helped lessen our national anxiety." No, it hasn't. Oh my God.
And no, seriously, all he did was spike fear in people.
That's on the petition. His comforting and intelligent demeanor has helped to lessen our national anxiety.
No.
He speaks truth to power, a strength few have at this time. Obviously never listened to Free Talk Live.
People are terrified of getting a flu that they have a 99.96% chance of overcoming if they're in my age bracket.
Okay.
His kind face and manner of speaking bring calm during the storm. Oh, my gosh. These people are delusional. Delusional. Rabidly delusional. Did I mention delusional?
He's the only reason that we had to go through all of this, at least in America.
I mean, I call him Anthony Fauci because, well, he tells falsehoods.
His CDC was caught. Well, they admitted, so they weren't even really caught, that they had been spouting the whole... it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
No, yeah, it isn't.
What actually, the numbers that they were referencing, they were saying like, oh, some 80-something percent of deaths in hospitals right now are from the unvaccinated. They were using the data from January all the way to June of this year.
You know what it's a pandemic of?
Wait, the vaccines hadn't even come out in January, so it was fake. It was a lie.
Yeah, it's a pandemic of the gullible.
Yep,
is what it is. And the easily scared, the people who have no research skills and lack basic logic. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is next. Welcome back, everybody. It is the final segment of tonight's episode of Free Talk Live. We're a live radio call and talk program, and we'll get to your calls and thoughts momentarily. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
And before we go any further tonight, I need to say thank you to Dave Burns. Dave Burns is a gold-level amplifier. That means he gives $10 a month to the AMP program. What is the AMP program? Well, it stands for Advertise, Markets, and Promote. And this money goes to get this particular radio program that you're listening to onto more radio stations. We're currently on somewhere around 180. We could be on 200, 250, 300, not out of the question. It's all up to you. Consider becoming an amplifier over at amp.freetalklive.com. There are some perks that you get. And if you know, there's different levels that you can contribute. We only ask for 5. Dave Burns, he contributes 10. He finds value. If you've enjoyed the hosts, if you've enjoyed the co-hosts, the callers, the program that we've created, and you've gotten value out of it, and you want to see the ideas of freedom and peace and liberty forwarded, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amp.freetalklive.com. Once again, thank you, Dave Burns. You are appreciated. All right, let's go to Josie calling from Virginia. Josie, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello to you all. I am talking about The Real Anthony Fauci, a new book out by Robert Kennedy Jr., who has done great stuff for the people on the kind of health freedom that we want. The magazine is called Health Freedom News.
Mm-hmm.
It's the summer edition. And it's from the National Health Federation. I recommend everybody contribute something to that small little group over there in California, the NHF.com, NHF for National Health Federation. But in the meantime, I'm calling because you all were talking about the so-called Faustus Fauci, which is what I call him.
I call him Fauci, but go ahead.
he's false, no matter what.
Yes, indeed.
He has this author of Robert Kennedy, the real Anthony Fauci, was conducting training exercises towards the overthrow of the United States without the knowledge of the American people. He has the power to shut down economies worldwide, bankrupt nations, destroy the American and other middle classes, and on and on. It's a very wide net that's been thrown here. In the year 2000, he met with Bill Gates, and they formed a vaccine partnership to co-develop vaccines. So now we're deep into that right now.
Yep.
which partnership controls quasi-agencies throughout the entire world, not just the United States. They also control giant companies, Microsoft, Google, and Apple. And he says the spider web is vast. And 10 years later, the almighty Bill Gates appeared before the UN General Assembly to declare the decade to be the decade of vaccines. I mean,
How horrible is that now?
Isn't it incredible?
And
he organized a witch hunt against the anti-vax groups, notwithstanding many people's genuine concern about missing science, and their questions about the vaccine's actual quality, safety, and efficacy, which is not very good.
Right.
Intense censorship of anti-vaccine voices ensued. And these tentacles extend all into the big food and drug companies as well.
And you can tell, you can see the results of that, Josie.
Yeah, I mean, we're right into it.
Just globally, right? You can just look at all the other countries that are you know, doing the same thing, and it's like monkey see, monkey do. One country does a thing, all the other countries have to do it. For why? Why?
Well, politicians like to exploit people. That's what it comes down to.
We might have a few that, like, you know, Sweden might be away from that, but Gates is God of technology, you know, that's Gates, and it intended to replace God himself, as Kennedy discloses, public health in a syringe. That is Gates's approach to public health worldwide.
And
Fauci's
too.
This doesn't include Gates's tentacles into climate change, including his genius idea to dim the sun. When Gates can control acts of God, he not only is above the law, he is the law.
Hey, Josie, thank you so much.
I mean, it's an incredible review that I'm showing you out of this magazine, Health Freedom News. And all of those who have computers, you can just get it from the NHF. I have the summer edition of this. It comes out once every season, summer, fall, winter, and so on.
What was the site again for this, NHF?
And they have a phone number also. For those like me who don't have computers, which is 1-626-357-2181. That's 626-357-2181. And you can, I mean,
what was the website again, Josie? NHF? What was it? What was the website for them again? NHF?
TheNHF.com. NHF for National Health Federation.
Got it. Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Josie. We appreciate it. I'm glad that she brought up Sweden, though, because I wanted to end the night on some good news since, well, I've had bad news this week. We know she brought up Sweden, and as we've reported here on Free Talk Live previously, Sweden has lifted COVID restrictions. But Denmark says, move over, Sweden, as its government lifts all COVID restrictions. And then it has a question, because of high vaccination rate, question mark? This is from Thursday the 16th. Denmark today is free of COVID restrictions after government officials said the virus is no longer a critical threat to society. But did the Danes really hit a magic vaccine number? A recent photo of a jam-packed stadium reportedly taken in Copenhagen, the capital of Denmark, drew attention recently on social media. This weekend in Copenhagen, Silicon Valley technologist Aaron Jin wrote, no masks, no testing, no vaxport. And of course, they present a photo of a completely full and packed stadium. The photo went viral a day after the New York Times reported Denmark had lifted its remaining coronavirus restrictions, effectively declaring that the virus was no longer a critical threat to society and allowing the country to get back to a semblance of pre-pandemic normal. Though face coverings are still required in airports. So, Chris, when we were doing some talk about this in between segments, you had asked, is it still? And, like, apparently masks in airports are the only thing that hasn't been lifted.
Interesting.
People naturally responded differently to the photo. Some reacted positively. I think that's called freedom, not like Australia, one reader responded. Some said the Danes would pay for their recklessness. They'll find out the hard way, like Singapore, one person tweeted.
I'm reading a book right now about a Danish idea of a way of life called hygge. It's spelled H-Y-G-G-E, but it's hygge. And they're all about keeping your calm in your life, in your lifestyle. Like, your house is supposed to be really simple, uncluttered, clean. You should clean a little bit each day. And it's all about a mindset, too, of being calm. And so I could totally see them just being like, yeah, we're not freaking out over this anymore.
I love it. I wish more places would take their lead. The vast majority of people that responded to this, however, said Denmark had earned their freedoms back because they had done the hard work of getting their population vaccinated, unlike the United States. Yes, the Danes vaccinated like rational human beings, one reader tweeted. The country is the second most vaccinated in the world, another claimed. Denmark's actual vaccination rate? Well, it's true that when the government announced last month it would not be renewing its COVID restrictions, public officials cited high vaccination rate as the reason. This was echoed by Danish health officials last week when the last of Denmark's COVID restrictions were lifted, making it the freest country in Europe as far as COVID restrictions, well ahead of Sweden, which has avoided a full-scale lockdown throughout the pandemic. This can only be done because we have come a long way with the vaccination rollout, have a strong epidemic control, et cetera, and so on.
But is it really a high? They were like leading up to making it sound like it wasn't that high.
Well, let's continue. First, Denmark does not have the second highest vaccination rate in the world, as the reader claimed above. Second, Denmark's vaccination is not over 90%, as many readers claimed. In fact, it's not even over 80%, as media outlets such as NBC News, NPR, Yahoo News, etc. reported. The actual vaccination rate in Denmark was 73% as of this past weekend, and that's the government's own official number.
The Danes are just seeming cooler and cooler to me recently.
As of Saturday, this says about 76% of the country's population had received one dose. 73% had been fully vaccinated, according to the Our World Data Project at the University of Oxford. I like Denmark. Thank you for being an outstanding country lifting these restrictions. More Free Talk Live 7 nights a week over at archives.freetalklive.com. Thanks. Peace.
This message is for you if you are a polyamorous person or you're in an open relationship and you are struggling with jealousy, loneliness, and communication problems. Hello, my name is Jeremy West, and I am a polyamory coach with degrees in psychology and communications and 5 years of experience with polyamory. And for a limited time, I'm teaching a free online class just for polyamorous people or people in open relationships, where you will discover a new, simpler, and unique way to uncover the secret that experienced poly people know about jealousy that you must know too, stop feeling lonely when your partner is out with another partner, and use the four key elements that will change the way you communicate forever. No more crying yourself to sleep when you're alone for a night, a weekend, or longer, and wondering if it's better to go back to a monogamous relationship. Sound good? Well then, go to jeremywest.net/free class and register for my class now. Again, that's jeremywest.net/free class, jeremywest.net/free class.